It's with a little bit of hesitancy, but God just sort of confirmed it this morning. We want to turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. There's a couple of things that I'm going to share with you guys, and I'm going to get to, that are the hardest things to, as a pastor, to teach to the body of Christ. One is to warn the body of Christ, and I just sort of shared a little bit about that. Unfortunately, the church is grown into a big, big old tree, some abnormality. It was meant to be a little mustard seed bush, and it's made it so that demonic influences and doctrines of demons can make their nest in the church and feel quite comfortable there. And I suggest to you that the church in America is an embarrassment to God, an abomination to Him, to some degree, some areas of it, because I think partly because of we've placed such emphasis on the world's definition of success. Let's read from 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you're a slave, if you work for somebody else, if you're just an employee under the yoke of a master, of the boss, he's worthy of all honor so that the name of God and His doctrine may not be blasphemed. In other words, if you're complaining as an employee about your boss, you're blaspheming the name of God and you're being a bad witness to people. Okay, let's go on. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Hey, if you've got a Christian boss, awesome, man. Man, just pour out your life because you're putting your work and effort in the expansion and the blessing of that business into the hands of a Christian that can use it in the kingdom. And pray that that boss, that owner of the business, gets touched by God to be a giving man to further the kingdom of God because he is being so blessed. But that's not your call. That's just pray for him. Teach and exhort these things. Now that's what Paul is telling Timothy as a young pastor. Teach these things and exhort them. Now let's go on what it says. If anyone teaches otherwise, and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he's proud, knowing nothing, obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Now, this is a verse, or the part of the verse I want you to underline. Very carefully, and listen to what I'm saying. Who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. This is the word of the Lord to the church. Those men that teach health and wealth and prosperity, and you're going to get it back tenfold, and all of these other things that we're hearing across the board in churches all over the community and all over America and all over the television set that are saying that, are saying that godliness is a means of gain. That's what they're saying. Do you see what I'm showing you here in the Word of God? They're saying godliness is a means of gain. What does Paul say? Withdraw yourself. These are not the words of Christ. I don't have to go into his... He gets heavy duty with these guys. Paul earlier said that those that get off heavenly minded and direct your attention towards earthly things, they're enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. So... It's wonderful to teach, guys, give your tithes and offerings. Be faithful. You're a stewardship. Everything you have belongs to God. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. We belong to Him, and everything we are is to serve in His kingdom. And so it's not a lie to say God can't be indebted to any man. It's not a lie that says God is going to bless you abundantly. For what a man reaps, he shall also sow. But it is a lie to tell you to focus on earthly things. So the enemy of the cross. And it's someone destitute of the truth. And they're not teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what I've shared with one of my friends that's going through a trial in Texas. I said, look, it's real simple, church, my friend. When you read the Bible or you listen to somebody teach, if what they teach doesn't fit with a man dancing around bombs in Sudan, a Christian that doesn't know where his next meal is going to come from, or a Christian that's in a prison in China for the name of Christ, for sharing the gospel, then the way they're teaching the Bible is not right. Because God is not a respecter of persons. He's for the rich, the poor. No matter what state you're in, His riches are in glory. And He's got a message for us and for them. And the gospel is for every man on earth. God's not an American this morning. And the church in America is lost because it's forgotten the Bible and rightly dividing it and understand what it says. And you know what? I don't care if we stay in this little room here and we have 50 people or 100 people come to this church. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to teach the truth. I'm going to warn the flock. Because we live in an affluent society and we're fat Christians. We're fat sheep. But if you don't know these things, sooner or later somebody is going to slaughter you. They're going to get in your pocketbook. They're going to make merchandise of you through our covetousness. You get it back tenfold, all right. Get my checkbook out. I bet you're better off going to Morgan Stanley office down there. I'm telling you. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will never carry anything out. And you can go on and read through this thing because it says, you know, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. But Jesus said this. He said, now, you can't serve two masters. You'll either love money or you'll love me. You can't do both. You'll serve one or the other. Okay, this morning the question is, are we servants of the Most High God? If you are, then money is a great servant. It's not about wealth or poor, how much you have or how much you don't have. It's about who you're serving. Is God or Baal who you serve? If you serve money, it's a ruthless Lord. Ruthless. But if you serve God, then money's just a tool. Gotta have it. Lord, I'll take as much as you want to bless me with. That's wonderful. Nothing against it. Unless it rules. Okay. We're getting a point across this morning, right? I had a couple places to turn to. Psalm 37. We'll read the whole thing on your own. There won't be time. But we'll pick out a verse or two in Psalm 37. I love that verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. It's a funny thing that happens. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, He gives us the desires in our heart. That's what it's saying. People think it's whatever I want, whatever my desire is. No, He gives us the desires in our heart. You see what it's saying there? Look at verse 25. I've been young and am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. I love that because I use that sometimes when somebody that says they're a Christian comes in and starts panhandling our church. I say, brother, word of the Lord through David said Christians don't beg. I've never seen it happen. Either you're not a Christian or you really don't need that money. God will provide for you. You need to get your heart right. Look at verse 16. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Read that whole psalm and meditate on it if you would. Proverbs chapter 30. I like this one too. The wisdom of David spoken through Solomon. I think when Solomon asked for wisdom, God said, hey, yeah, listen to what your daddy said. He had a heart after mine. Remember all the things you were taught by your daddy, man after my own heart, and write them down. In chapter 30 of Proverbs, verse 7 through 9, I really like this. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me, and the second thing, give me neither poverty nor riches. Makes sense. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Sometimes I think that prosperity is more of a danger to the church than adversity. Look at the church of Smyrna and the letter Jesus wrote to it. Look at, it's an affront to those that built the church. The blood of the martyrs built the church. These men died instead of putting a sprinkle to Caesar on the altar. They got burned at stakes. It's like, and God bless our country and the freedoms of speech we have and stuff, but doesn't it just, if any of you have a hint of patriotism, when someone burns a flag or uses the free speech we have to pervert, doesn't it turn your stomach? It does. And here God, His blessed word and His riches, and to turn the blessing He wants to pour in us and the growth He wants to do in our lives into a recipe for success in the world. Don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? We're not supposed to make our church where it's seeker-friendly. We're supposed to be made and conformed into the image of Christ because we're filthy, miserable sinners. And I fail miserably. And God, You called me to holiness. Give me the strength to repent and change and be different. Don't make our time that we're supposed to be equipped for that into something, some entertainment center thing to compete with wherever. Latest movie down at the mall.